you originally built your Easy Build hot dog cart as a therapy project after you had some brain issues, right?
I had a hemorrhage in my lower part of my brain and what they call the left ventricle. It was really questionable whether I would even be able to have a normal life again. Through it all, I built this cart, and even the health department said, you just raised the bar on all the other hot dog carts in town.
Hey everybody, this is Steve at Hot Dog Profits. You're listening to the original Hot Dog Cart Radio, and today I have Paul Chapman on the line. You might know him as Chappie. That's how he signs his name on our blog whenever he gets in there and participates, which is quite often. Paul is a member of our Hot Dog Profits Premium membership. He's built an easy-built hot dog cart out in Stockton, California, and he's been doing great with it. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. Favored and highly blessed.
Favored and highly blessed. I like that. That's great. We've known each other now for, what, 3 or 4 years?
About 3.5 years.
Never met face-to-face. Someday I hope to, but started out as a customer and became a friend, and that's great. I love when that happens.
That's awesome. You know, I tell you, I can hardly wait to meet you and serve you one of my Miller hot dogs. That's the brand out here we use a lot of in Stockton. And I tell everybody, this Miller hot dog will give you a vision of God. You know, it's that good.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to try that. Well, one of the really interesting things that I think we started talking a lot about, and it kind of fostered our friendship, was you originally built your easy-built hot dog cart not particularly to go into business and make a whole ton of money, but as a kind of a rehab, a therapy project after you had some brain issues, right?
Yes, it was on Valentine's night about, I think it was a little 3 years ago. I had a hemorrhage in my lower part of my brain in what they call the left ventricle, and I guess the quote unquote name for it is a subtracheal brain bleed. And
that doesn't sound good.
No, it was not. It was through the course of it all. It was really questionable whether I would even be able to have a normal life again because of it puts you into a coma and things. And I was in a coma for several days and then losing your cognitive skills afterwards. So you realize that things that you could normally do as second nature. I mean, even like boiling water, cooking, frying yourself an egg, it was like, I can't do that. If I did, my wife goes, is you going to burn the house down? They're trying.
Wow.
And it was just kind of one of those things where it's eye-opening. You're realizing, you know, hey, he's God and I'm not, you know, and I'm in his hands and I, you know, my life is his and I've got to follow his lead. And,
yeah.
And not try to get too far out on my own. And sometimes we do that as people, you know, like, hey, I can do this, you know, me man, you know.
Right.
And it really did. It was a life-changing event. And when I was at home after coming out of rehab, I was still, I would say, probably 60 to 75% regained things, but I still had a ways to go, and I was doing outpatient rehab at that point. And at one point, I don't even know how it happened. I think it was a God thing. I ended up stumbling onto your website, and I sat there and I was watching these hot dog carts, you building a cart and talking about it and looking at other carts and the whole concept. And I kind of went, wow, that's cool. And so finally I showed it to my wife, and I said, you know, I think I want to build a hot dog cart. And she kind of looked at me like I had lobsters crawling out my ears or something, you know. And I went, no, I'm really serious. And so she goes, well, I guess okay. And I guess our philosophy was in the course of doing it that, you know, it's made out of wood and we have a fireplace, so if it doesn't work out, we can always just return the parts that you can, like the heater and the refrigerator and things like that, and saw it up and burn it. You know, it's all firewood, you know.
You got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. So we went ahead and we bought the CDs, and I read, and I remember watching them for over several, 2 or 3 weeks, and then finally says, okay, I'm going to take step one, and I started the process a little bit at a time, and staying close to the CDs, because I'm learning how to do things that were second nature to me. You know, I was retired Navy Coast Guard, and I was a, what they call a damage controlman in the Coast Guard, and I basically, I was a ship's carpenter and a cabinet maker, and so doing this kind of stuff to build a hot dog cart on the easy build was like, hey, this is stuffing. Steve took all the MacGyver stuff out of it. I mean, I just had to follow his lead on that. I didn't reinvent anything. I just had to follow his plan, and I could do that by second nature. Well, that wasn't the case anymore. I was having to relearn a lot of these things. Most people take how long to build an easy build cart, usually?
I had one customer do it in 3 days.
Did it in 3 days. It took me over 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was out there pretty much a lot, you know, but I would have to sit there and think about things for sometimes half an hour, 45 minutes, trying to figure out how to do it. And I made my mistakes, and I had to go back and repeat and redo things. But, you know, through it all, I built this cart that I'm going like, wow. And even the health department said, you just raised the bar on all the other hot dog carts in town.
Yeah, it did come out nice.
I was the first easy-built cart in Stockton, and several followed behind me. But here this cart came out of a rehab project.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so thankful for it, and that's how we built our friendship, is that I'm thankful that I met Steve Shively.
Oh, well, I'm thankful I met you too, Paul.
Yeah, you know, you were part of a healing process in me physically.
It's good to be used for his good, isn't it?
Absolutely, you know, and I love doing it too, so.
Yep. Anyway. Very cool. So once you had it built, did you go out right away and start selling?
I went out to a couple of locations in the community that, you know, our area is kind of a funny little region. You know, sometimes there's some hot doggers, they can get into some real, you know, turf wars.
Yeah.
And that causes problems. And that's when they step in and say, okay, you guys are done. You're out of here.
Leave. Yeah.
You know, so if you just kind of behave yourself and you become an integral part around your community, and the people start to see you and appreciate you, then even they will appreciate you as well.
Yeah.
They appreciate professionalism.
Right. It's just like any business, whether you're selling hot dogs or whether you're a mechanic or a landscaper or whatever. There's businesses that are run well, and there's businesses that are not run well. And it's the ones that are not run well that kind of make things harder on people that are trying to do it professionally. So kudos to you for doing everything legal and above board, and that's the way to go, no doubt.
Absolutely. You know, and even going down, like we talked about earlier, about a sales tax and rendering to Caesar what is Caesar.
Right.
Okay. And it's, you know, yeah, okay, we're a cash business, okay? You're like, oh, what cash? I didn't see any cash. Do you need any cash? I mean,
yeah.
You can go that route.
Oh, yeah.
That's an integrity issue.
Right.
And if you're going to do it there, it's going to come out elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And people see that in the way you conduct yourself at your site where you're at, how you handle your food, how you handle, you know, a number of things. It's an indicative thing all across your whole thing.
Yeah, that's
across your whole process.
Yeah, that's a very important takeaway, definitely. People occasionally ask me, hey, Steve, this is a cash business. What do you do about taxes? Wink, wink. And I always tell them, I said, you know, you can do whatever you want. I'm not here to judge you, but the law says you got to pay taxes, whether you like it or not. And I don't like it, but I pay them because that's what the law says to do. I sleep well at night. And like you said, if I were the type of person that was skimming or not paying my taxes, I'd probably be crossing the line in other areas of my life, too, and I just don't want to do that.
You'll never know, is this person walking up to you in a suit? Is he an IRS man?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, and my father-in-law, who was a CPA and an attorney, used to tell me stories about how he had clients that would get themselves into a pickle when they didn't realize the customer they had in front of them was somebody who may have been off duty, but
yep.
he remembers you when he's on duty, you know. So
That happened to us.
We were out selling,
and one of my employees was manning the cart at the time. I wasn't there, but she told me about it, and she said, this guy walks up, just look like anybody else, orders a hot dog, and she had just put a new batch in the water, and she wasn't sure if they were hot enough yet, so she gets out her instant read thermometer and takes the temperature and makes sure it's fine and serves it to the guy, and the guy looks at her, and he goes, I'm really impressed, and she said, why? And he said, well, I'm a health inspector from the next county over. And you're doing it right. So that was pretty cool.
Exactly. In fact, I know of a food man here. So when I first started, I went out on a couple, you know, local sites out, and it just wasn't clicking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an opportunity to get into a flea market. And I just did it on Saturday. I had my little part-time job going. I did this on Saturday.
Yeah.
And more of this, it started out more as a toy than anything else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I did well. But one of the men at the flea market also did the flea market in another county south of us. And while he was in that other county south of us, did the flea market, the health department did a sweep to the flea market. And they mm-hmm. do inspections all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was not kind of on the up and up, was doing some things, cutting some corners and stuff. And he had quite a write-up.
Yeah.
And what happened was, that county notified this county.
Yep.
And then they came out to the flea market. And he got a double, and basically got a twofer, you know?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute, he did it there, and he was, you'd think he did it there, I better quit. He did it again here.
Yep.
And so he was out of business for a while.
Yeah.
And, but then again, as a result, well, if we're here for these, we might come around to all of them.
Yeah.
And they said they came around to all of us. And I was the only one that came out clean. It came out clean because, you know, hey, whatever you do in word and deed, do heartily as unto the Lord, not unto the man.
Right.
But do this right.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of brings us to what I wanted to talk to you about. You are one of the guys that's very, very big on presentation and cleanliness mm-hmm. with the cart, and that's kind of what you attribute most of your success to, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and when I looked at, when I built the cart, how do I build it? What do I do? Now, here in our county, you have to have a scrubbable surface. Well, a painted cart can work on maybe the body,
yeah.
but the top. They want that top to be something, so a lot of people have gone and had a piece of stainless steel made for the top.
Right. Your health department out there in California wants a scrubbable surface. Most places,
a scrubbable surface.
Most places, as long as it's what the health department calls non-porous and easily cleanable, which painted
right.
wood is, that will suffice yeah. most places. But it's interesting that they declare that yours has to be scrubbable.
Right, exactly. It's,
okay.
it's got to be a scrubbable surface.
So what did you do?
And so anyway, I figured, okay, what would I use? Well, in the Coast Guard, when we remodeled all of our kitchens, we got rid of stainless steel because over a period of time, stainless steel starts to look dull,
mm-hmm.
starts to look scratchy. You know what I mean? It loses its luster if it's not maintained.
Yep.
In a certain way,
right?
And at that, in at cars outdoors, and you know, so you can lose your luster, and as a result of the luster, it loses its sparkle. The stainless steel can be expensive too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can I do that would be inexpensive that just scrubbles the surface? Well, in the Coast Guard, when we remodel a lot of our kitchens on the shore stations, we didn't use stainless steel. We went in there and used Formica.
Mm.
And for mine, I used the white Formica that you'd buy at, I happened to buy mine at Lowe's.
Mm-hmm.
It was white. And they make a Formica that's called NSF-65. That's the highest grade you can get. And it was red. I bought red. I made mine red and white because
mm-hmm.
in the bright, out in the sun, that white looks bright, white looks clean. It draws people.
Right.
Especially with the red lettering on it, says Hot Diggity Dog.
Yeah, and your card is beautiful. It looks really good.
Now, hindsight 2020, I think I would have rather or should have used, for the white, used FRP. It's got fiberglass reinforced panel.
Yep.
Now, it comes smooth and it comes pebbly, and I would use the smooth.
Right.
Because that pebbly, driving down the road, you're going to pick up stuff. It's just natural road dust.
I'm not a fan of that pebbly finish either.
Right. But that smooth FRP is really, really nice, and it's durable. But for the top, that NSF-65 for Micah on the top, it was when you showed them, and it's on the back of the panel, it shows it's printed NSF-65. And so I made sure I had a piece of that scrap left over that had 65 on it for the health department to see that.
They must have loved that.
Oh, yeah, they did. They walked up. In fact, the supervisor came out, and it was on a bright, sunny day. But I made sure that thing sparkled, everything to white. And on that bright, sunny day, you almost had to have sunglasses on. And I tell you, it went miles. I mean, the supervisor in the health department who I was working with, he said, all right, I got to see this card. And he got up from his desk and came out. He wasn't the inspector. This young girl was. And she came out, so she's starting to get really scrutinizing. And finally he looked at it and says, he said, you know, I can't remember her name. He goes, hey, just leave the guy alone, man. This thing right here, we need all of our carts to look like this.
Nice.
It was an automatic pass.
Nice.
They just looked at it. They didn't check the temperature in the refrigerator. They wanted to see that the burners worked and the water came out of the sink and it was hot.
Yeah.
And that's all they did, and it was just like that. And I'm going, they didn't look inside the cabinets, anything like that. And even on the inside of the cabinets, I finished them off inside with a white panel that was kind of made up of fiberboard kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't even painted inside. It was all paneled out in the inside,
mm-hmm.
which I've learned to really like since then because it's so easy to clean in there and it's durable. And it became very presentable.
Right. There's that presentation again. What do you think would have happened if you had rolled up in something that was dingy and had paint chipped off it and dirt on the top?
They would have scrutinized it very carefully. Now, they may have still passed it.
Right.
Because the thing is, what they're requiring is that the top is scrubbable and that the burners work and you get hot water and there's certain criteria, stuff like that. But why kick a sleeping dog?
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, you go up there and, you know, I guess, I just had to, you know, don't try to baffle him with a bunch of, you know, BS. Dazzle him with something that shows professionalism.
Right. And when you rolled up with a professional presentation, they went a lot easier on you. And the same thing goes when you're out vending. If you have a dazzling clean presentation, your customers are going to go easier on you too, meaning they're not going to wonder, should I eat something off of this cart? They're not going to wonder that. They're going to just walk right up and they're going to buy from you.
Absolutely. In fact, even on the yearly inspections, we're at the commissary and they come out the commissary, we all kind of line up, and I'm maybe third in line, and the inspector just comes up and hands me a sheet and says, here, go to work. I go, bye, everybody. And I'm out on the street making money before they're sold up after being inspected.
Awesome.
But, yeah, you know, when customers come up, again, presentation is everything. I take my menus that I print. I make them up on my computer, and I take the flash drive. And I mean, yeah, I have a printer here at home. I can print them. But I'll take them up to Office Depot. And they print them on a color laser, and then I have them laminated.
Nice.
And I print them on. I have them printed on cardstock, and then I have them laminated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you might get caught in a little bit of rain on the way home, it doesn't affect them any.
Right.
You know, it doesn't affect them, and they don't fade. They're always bright. The colors are bright, and I make sure your logo's in it, and there's little things on there that says, you know, Hot Diggity Dogs are Hot Diggity Good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And then at the bottom where it's, instead of saying thank you, I say Frank's a lot.
Yeah, there you go.
This little tongue-in-cheek stuff and the mix of the grin. And so there's other hot dog carts downtown. And also these people come walking by, and I went, and you can tell us they come over and they're lining up, and I serve Miller hot dogs and Miller all beef. And then I have an inexpensive one because I'm outside the utility company's payment office.
Okay.
People come in, pay their utility bills, and they come out, and they got two little kids that are hungry, and I'm right there smiling, you know.
Yep.
And I have some really pleasant music playing, and I wear a white polo shirt. I wear a pair of khaki cargo pants or cargo shorts. I always have on a red apron. I have an American flag hat that, has my Navy, rating emblem up on the top. So that kind of, what's that mean,
Yeah.
And, and so they come up, and then, of course, you engage everybody. And somebody kind of goes, wow, hot diggity dog. And I look up at them and smile, yeah, and they're hot diggity good. Yeah, and you do one thing, and you do it with excellence.
I like that. That's do one thing and do it with excellence. That's perfect. Yeah. I always tell people, my version of that is, don't sell a hot dog, sell an experience.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I name my hot dogs. I mean, there's the wiener dog, it's a 6-inch all-beef hot dog. And then I have an 8-inch all-beef hot dog, and that's the wonder dog,
Yeah.
And there's certain ones, they walk up, and I see them about, once a week, and you know them, you know what they want.
Uh-huh.
But are you here for a wonder dog today, or you want to kind of stretch your experience a little bit? Well, what else you got that's good? Oh,
yeah.
Man, you got to try this Polish. This Polish sausage is die for.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, I'll try it.
Yeah.
It's a little more money, And I have a tip jar up there on top, and, something costs like, the hot dog is $3.50, a big 8-inch wonder dog. I give change. Well, I put that 50 cents up on that little top counter there, and at one end, the tip jar is at the other end. I put that 50 cents up there and give them their four. I know that 50 cents is going to end up in that tip jar.
Right. Exactly.
And so I've seen so many people, they give them change. Oh, what's your change? It's $15. Well, here's 10 and a 5. Well, here's a 10 and 5 once.
Mm-hmm.
Because I gave you 5 ones, because I know probably one of those ones is going to end up in that tip jar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're not going to put a 5 in there, but to put a 1 in there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So you see. So you think about those kind of things, and you do it with a smile.
Yeah. That's so important, presentation. You dress clean, your cart's clean, it's not cluttered up with junk. You name your hot dogs, which I tell everybody that is so important to do. That's what differentiates you from the green hot dog that's on that roller grill that's been there for 6 hours at the local gas station. Name them. If you can do a photo menu, take a picture of each hot dog and put it on the menu. It's selling an experience, not just a hot dog, and that's what makes the difference between being able to charge $4 for a quarter pounder or $3.50 for a 8-to-1 over only getting $1.50 for it.
Right, exactly. See, and then, of course, I included on my cart an 11-by-14 sign that says, "We proudly serve Miller hot dogs."
Mm-hmm.
Miller hot dogs are the same hot dogs they serve at our minor league baseball team arena, and our minor league team in town is a minor league for the Oakland A's.
Uh-huh.
And so the same hot dog they serve at the Oakland A's, they serve at the Stock and Thunder. I made the Miller Meat Company give me the same sign if they have a great, huge one at the ballpark.
Nice.
They think see that sign at the ballpark. And also now they have the sign on my cart.
The branding is so important. If you have a local brand that people are familiar with, especially the ones that they're used to paying astronomical sums for at the ballpark, that company, Miller, how much a year do you think they spend on advertising? I mean, millions probably.
Oh, yeah,
take advantage of that. Ride those coattails. They're giving you all that kind of branding for free. You can't beat that.
Oh, I love free. I mean, free is good.
Free is for me. Free is for me.
That's right. That is free. I love that. Free is for me, man.
Yep.
I receive that for myself,
Right.
Exactly. So those are the kind of things that you really got to sit down and relook at But one thing I did do that I've not regretted at all, Cash Tracker. That has absolutely been huge in developing, this my hot dog business.
Oh, great. You know, I remember when you were asking me about the cash tracker, you were using Quicken, and you were in the middle of setting up all the accounts and slogging through all that. And I said, Paul, no. You don't have to do that. We've done it all for you. You open the software, you fire it up, all the accounts are already there. There's nothing to do but enter your income and enter your expenses. Boom, it's done.
And, of course, what comes out on the printer is something that you can hand over to. If anything ever came in question about what you're doing, just print that out and hand it to them.
Yeah, it generates a professional profit and loss statement for whatever time period you want. At the end of the year, you just generate a P&L for the last year, and you hand it to your accountant, and you're done.
Absolutely. It leaves nothing for doubt. And that's how you function out on the cart, too. You don't leave anything for doubt.
Right.
But I have a stack of white bar towels.
Yeah, I use those too.
The moment that bar towel starts to get some mustard stains or whatever ketchup stains, that thing automatically goes back underneath and reach in and you get a clean bar towel.
Yep.
People see you. They're walking by, they see you wiping down your counters.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, I was managing a Burger King by the time I was 17 years old, a million years ago. And the one thing I learned and told all the people that I was managing was, if you've got time to lean, you've got time to clean.
Absolutely.
Well, what else do you have for us, Chappie?
I'll close with this. I must have been in my late 20s, early 30s. I'd gotten out of the Navy, went back to college, and before I went back into the Coast Guard, and went back to college. And while I was working, I did some time in the corporate world, and I just didn't fit in. That's just not my cup of tea. And,
sure.
And anyway, but in the course of it, I was at a seminar or a sales congress, and I was doing some sales stuff. And I was at a sales congress, and I met this, I'll never forget him. He changed the course of my life, and I had an opportunity later to meet him again and tell him. He's long since passed away, but he was a little Baptist pastor from Marshall, Texas. His name was Charlie Flowers. And Charlie Flowers kind of said it like this. He says, everybody wants to feel worthy. He says, God put you on this earth for one reason and one reason alone, and that's to serve. And those who find rewards in serving will reach ultimate happiness if the most alive. You can't help another fellow to the top of the mountain without getting there yourself. And I tell you what, that was long before I really developed a passionate relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even there yet. I was probably, I was a wild child in my own right,
Sure.
And I say this, but I heard that. And that went deep into my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. When did you become a pastor, Chappie?
Well, I started part-time, in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated from Capital Bible Institute in 1989. But yet at the same time, I stayed in the Coast Guard the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Chappie, it's been awesome, and I'm going to let you go now, but I hope you have a great weekend and the season's starting up again, so get out there and sell more hot dogs, man.
I'm certainly glad I met you because you saved my life and changed my life in a lot of ways. So.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm glad to be used by him.
That's it. Amen.
All right, brother. Okay, Paul.
Okay, man.
Yep.
All right. God bless you, man.
God bless you, too.
Bye.
Bye.
Whether you want to start your own hot dog cart or you've already been slinging hot dogs for a while, there's something for you at my website, www.hotdogprofits.com. See you there.